coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman, your host, along with Eric the Tech over there. Eric the Tech, by the way, has got, you know what? He's got a cold, pretty bad cold. And he's doing well. He's pushing through it.
I'm all right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he doesn't sound good. So just saying. Can't afford to lose him, or, you know, not lose him, but, you know, be without him a day. Key man over there. All right. I want to welcome you and thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of information packed show for you. And I appreciate your tuning in and also spreading the information about this program across all media platforms. Getter. What am I saying? Getter, Parler, Gab, Truth Social. I'm on all four. Spread the word, please, with this episode, with this segment. It doesn't matter. And prior as well. I want to bring your attention to last week with Aaron Brickman. I am telling you, he was on with Mike Adams. I spoke about this yesterday. But Aaron Brickman, first on the Hagman Report, saying, hey, things are going to be really bad. Well, guess what? Things are bad with the market, with the economic situation. Things are looking bleak, let me tell you. And how does that, you wonder, for example, look, you might say, I don't have a 401k or stocks or bonds or whatever. And, how does all of this affect me? Well, it affects all of us. Because this is what you're about to see in the month of October is the biggest bank heist in world history. I'm not going to get into that. You can go back and listen to Aaron Brickman from last week and prior to that, August 25th, and I think 27th. I'm not sure. It was August 25th for sure. I'll put the links in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, where you can find all of our source material there for this program. Couple of things. Why this has been allowed to happen, folks, I don't know. I think we need to be asking questions of our leaders. I think we need to be asking questions with Congress, because I was thinking about this. Here's the story. China establishes police station in New York City. Now, we talked briefly about this week. But if I'm a mayor, I could be. Hey, I could be a mayor. But if I'm a mayor, it ain't happening. There is no way in hell this would happen in my city. But there's a lot of questions I have, and hopefully you have about this. Have you heard anything about this on the mainstream media? Look, there are three of these stations in the greater Toronto area. There's one in New York City. The question is why? Well, the ostensible reason, of course, is so Chinese police can keep an eye on its citizens for illegal activity. I'm going to tell you, this Washington Times article, pretty doggone short on facts and details. It just simply says the Chinese government established overseas police service stations to keep track of its citizens abroad. And, now, they've done this in over 110 overseas or cities outside of China. Supposedly, ostensibly, they're used to help the Chinese Communist Party by cracking down on all kinds of illegal and criminal activities involving overseas Chinese. the main criminal activities they say that are monitored by the CCP surrogates are fraud and telecommunications fraud, according to the report. Look, I am so anti-CCP in Chinese. I won't even order Chinese food takeout. No, zero, nada. But there's something terribly wrong here. And when you look at this and combine this with, for example, the discussions about the infiltration of the United States by actors, foreign actors coming up through the southern border, think of a Red Dawn, 1984 Red Dawn scenario, the layout for that, the undergirding of that, of course, as explained during that movie, you had people coming in, these foreign invaders coming in, establishing footholds here in the United States from which they operated and took us down from within and enabled an external invasion force. I'm telling you right now, this should not be. And we need to be asking questions as to why. Okay, there's that. And you know, speaking of New York City, this is kind of... It's not, look, to me, okay, this, I don't want to get distracted by this. It's not a distraction. It's moral decay is what it is. This is page 4 on the show notes at HagmanReport.com. But this also involves New York City. And the reason I bring this up is because, look, we are in a state of moral decline and decay like no other time, and certainly in American history. And in world history, you saw this happen with Caligula. We saw this happen with Rome. We saw this, I mean, or with the Roman Empire. But right now, the court that first legalized same-sex marriage is now legalizing polygamy too. How does that even work? How can you legalize polygamy? And second of all, why would you want to? I mean, look, I do everything I can to keep my one wife happy. Okay? I mean, believe me, doesn't make much sense, at least not normal through the lens of normalcy. But when you start looking at the moral decay, moral decline, and the spiritual attack on all things holy, all things of God, this is front and center too. And remember when Obergefell, the Supreme Court decision, was passed that said, yeah, guys can, you know, same-sex marriage is fine. Coach Dave, I was there, but Coach Dave was really the guy out front. And he was speaking at the Supreme Court outside of the building saying, look, they will not stop here. They will not stop. They will not be happy with simply same-sex marriage. Look, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but now we're seeing this polygamy being okayed. You're seeing grooming in schools. Oh, you talk about that? You're on the FBI watch list. Yes. Yes, you are. You go to the school board and you talk about the materials used, not just for CRT, but including CRT or the pornography that is contained within unsuitable for children books and such. The weaponized Department of Justice, by way of the FBI, has you on a watch list. We are seeing this happen in real time. And if you think that, well, hey, good, I'm on a list, that's fine. But also, I had to reach for this because it connects to what this Biden regime is doing, amassing millions of records on U.S. gun owners amid this crackdown on firearms. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? Did I miss something? Well, this is from January of this year. But I want to bring this back into the forefront because January of this year, that's 10 months ago, the Biden regime in the past year, so consider 2021 to present, or just consider 2021, period. They stockpiled the records of more than 54 million U.S. gun owners. And they're poised at that time, they were poised to drastically alter gun regulations to ensure that information on Americans who own firearms ultimately end up in the government's hands. In other words, a database of gun owners. They are well on their way to getting that. And that's the ATF. Okay. This is incredible stuff. So if you speak against, for example, polygamy, now you are on a list of dissenters. But in New York State, the state court, the first state court that recognized same-sex marriage over 30 years ago now has recognized polygamous relationships. The before the homosexual, I refuse to say gay, but before the homosexual marriage was legalized in any state, Brashy versus Stahl Associates was decided. The New York State Court of Appeals became the first appellate court, the first American appellate court to recognize that a non-traditional two-person same-sex committed family-like relationship is entitled to legal recognition. You know what? I'm not going to read it. The link will be in the program description box. But the fact of the matter is this. What is normal in the eyes of normal people and in God's eyes, not normal anymore. Okay. Non-traditional now is normal. Perverse is normal. And I could go on. Meanwhile, it's the same city, same state that has a Chinese police station. You have to ask yourself what's going on there. All right. Now, some of the bigger issues that I really want to address is somewhat of a deeper look into, well, if a nuke goes off here in the United States, or more likely, if a nuke goes off in Ukraine, why? How did we get here? Because people are not understanding the full concept of this, of who's behind this. If we lose loved ones, how did that happen? This is important to really understand. Let's work backwards a little bit. Of course, the big stories about the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines from Russia to Germany servicing Europe, of course, being sabotaged. And there is a big push by the leftist media. I don't know if you've seen this, both print and television media, to blame this on Russia. Of course, blame it on Russia. Anybody but the United States or the globalist interests, including but not limited to the United States. What's going on here? Former Pentagon advisor says U.S. likely attacked Nord Stream pipeline to isolate Germany. This from Summit News. There it is right there. Paul Joseph Watson reporting on this. We can go in the interest of time. Let's go to page 3. This from the National Pulse, Jeffrey Sachs, referencing to the same thing that we saw with Summit News, tells Bloomberg America was behind the Nord Stream pipeline attack. Well, of course, we were a part of that. Some say U.S. Britain, others say U.S. Poland, but the bottom line is this was a globalist takedown. I want to play this 1 minute, 41 second clip. This is video 1 in the program description notes. Jeffrey Sachs, the director for, now listen to this. Jeffrey Sachs, you know, Goldman Sachs, okay. Jeffrey Sachs, the director of this, I did that for phonetics, okay, and spelling, but the director of the Center for Sustainable Development at Columbia University and president of the UN Sustainable Development Solution Network, made this claim when he appeared on Bloomberg on October 3rd. You can still be right and be a mope, okay? But I digress. Watch this, a minute 41.
economy is getting hammered by this, by the sudden cutoff of energy. And now, to make it definitive, the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, which I would bet was a U.S. action, perhaps U.S. and Poland. This is
speculation. Right, Jeff, we got to stop there. That's quite a statement as well. Why do you feel that was a U.S. action? What evidence do you have of that?
Well, first of all, there's direct radar evidence that U.S. Helicopters, military helicopters that are normally based in Gdansk, were circling over this area. We also had the threats from the United States earlier in this year that one way or another, we are going to end Nord Stream. We also have a remarkable statement by Secretary Blinken last Friday in a press conference that he says this is also a tremendous opportunity. It's a strange way to talk if you're worried about the piracy on international infrastructure of vital significance. So I know this runs counter to our narrative. You're not allowed to say these things in the West. But the fact of the matter is, all over the world, when I talk to people, they think the U.S. did it. Just to tell you. By the way, even reporters on our papers that are involved tell me privately, it doesn't show up in our media.
Professor, I want to get into for Tad about what did or did not happen with Nord Stream, because I don't have the evidence and we don't have a counterbalance to this.
No, of course you don't. We don't have a counterbalance. We don't have it was Russia. There you go. Thanks, Eric. How simple is that? It was Russia. Eric, you should be sitting over here. I'm telling you, man, you're right on the money. Yeah, there's no evidence of Russia, but there it is. So why are we right now, practicing duck and cover drills? And I say that tongue in cheek, but why are we looking for perhaps a nuclear exchange with Russia? Well, this is part of course, the globalist takedown of the Western nations, including and especially the United States. And let me explain this briefly. I kind of want to get into this a little bit because I've had a lot of people ask me about this. And we have to know the history behind this, in order to understand why we face the prospect of a nuclear exchange, why we might see a tactical nuke being used by Russia, and how this was set up and who set this up. I made mention of this yesterday and the day, I guess it was the day before, whatever, this week. And right now we are at perhaps the most serious time in a nuclear threat than I would say that exceeds even the Cuban Missile Crisis. Okay, that's how bad this is. And you can listen to Steve Quayle and of course he can tell you how bad this is. You've got nuclear subs that can send these tsunami causing torpedoes and destroy half of our East Coast. I mean, I'm telling you right now, it's bad. So who's responsible for this? And why? How did we get here? And what's the ultimate goal? Well, this new Cold War between the United States and Russia did not start. Didn't start with the breakaway of Crimea and Donbass from Ukraine. After Ukraine, which is of course adjacent to Russia, suddenly turned hostile to Russia. It didn't start then. It didn't start in February of 2014. Okay. Did not start then. It started long before that. But there's a how and a why that the U.S. government in 2014 perpetuated the 2014 coup in Ukraine that you need to understand, that we all need to understand. And as I like to say, the two primary participants, visible participants in this, Barack Hussein Obama and Victoria Nuland. Okay, there they are. In fact, go ahead and leave that up there for a while. Victoria Nuland, in case anyone is confused, is on the right. Okay, so what happened? Ukraine's replacing its democratically elected neutralist government in February of 2014 by this rabid anti-Russian government. It was a violent event, in case you had forgotten, that produced many dead people. It's presented in the West as having been a revolution instead of a coup. Look, this was a revolution, just like, you know, just like Arab Spring and such. It wasn't orchestrated. It wasn't. No. No, they want you to believe that. So it generated this new Cold War. The economic sanctions and NATO buildup on Russia's border that we're seeing right now, and the threat of nuclear retaliation by Russia. This is kind of, now it began before that, and I'll touch on that here momentarily. This was not a revolution back in 2014, but a coup that was organized by the United States government, that the U.S. government initiated, and the globalist planners and infiltrators within the U.S. government started this for the purpose of creating the chaos necessary for a single global governance. Now, I might remind people that during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, America had reason to fear nuclear missiles that were positioned some 100 miles from America's border. But something happened with Ukraine, the coup in 2014. Now Russia is in the same position, if not even worse, than the United States was, as I mentioned, with the Cuban Missile Crisis. Because Russia does fear that NATO nuclear missiles could not just be near, but right on Russia's border, which would be catastrophic. Now, when you look at America's successful February 2014 overthrow and replacement of Ukraine's democratically elected neutralist government, okay, if that does not produce this world-ending nuclear war scenario, this World War III, then there will be historical accounts of that specific overthrow, and the accounts are already increasingly trending and really consolidating toward a historical consensus that it was a coup, that it was imposed by somebody from the new coalition, if you will. In other words, that the termination of the, at that time, the existing democratic, though like all of their predecessors, corrupt Ukrainian government, it wasn't authentically a revolution, such as we, the West, the government, the U.S., Obama, Newland, as you see, contended, and certainly wasn't at all democratic, but was instead a coup. And as I said, a bloody one, totally illegal because it was backed by the West. Now, there are individuals responsible for this. There are individuals who will be noted for the harshest and most damning judgments, I should say, that they should be held up for the harshest and most damning judgments. On the right, of course, Victoria Nuland, Barack Hussein Obama's central agent overseeing this coup, at least during February of 2014, when it reached its climax. She was crucial for not only in overthrowing the existing Ukrainian government, but selecting and installing the rapidly anti-Russian replacement. And I referenced yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before, the January 27th, 2014 telephone conversation between her and a guy by the name of Jeffrey Pyatt, who was the ambassador in Ukraine, America's ambassador. It was a seminal event. It was uploaded to YouTube on February 4th of 2014. And it's significant, folks, because Nuland said there and then that Nuland essentially abandoned the European Union's hope for a democratic but less corrupt future government for Ukraine. And on that call, you will recall that she said, F the EU, as I said before, and told Pyatt, the ambassador, to choose instead this rabid anti-Russian far-right man by the name of Arseniy Yatsenyuk. Doesn't matter. He wasn't there long. That event occurred just three weeks and a couple of days before Ukraine's Viktor Yanukovych was overthrown on February 20th. And a month before, a new person to head Ukraine's government became officially appointed to rule this now clearly fascist country of Ukraine, which Ukraine, remember, is the playground for the globalists and the laundering, the money laundering place for the globalists. Now, this, and I mispronounced the name, Yatsenyuk, okay, although he was designated as Ukraine's ruler February 26th, he was only there for a short time. I mean, he was chosen on, he was only there for a short time. The other evidence that this was a coup and nothing about this was organic and it wasn't a revolution was a February 26, 2014 phone conversation between European Union's Foreign Minister Catherine Ashton. And I mentioned this yesterday or the day before as well. And her assistant or agent, I'm sorry, in Ukraine, investigating whether the overthrow had been a revolution instead of a coup. Well, the consensus was, look, this was a coup. Somebody from the new coalition had engineered it, but he didn't know. No one knew who that somebody was. Okay, so everyone seemed shocked at this finding. It was just really strange how this went down. The Maidan demonstrators, as we were told, were revolutionaries. All right, so, but the network behind this coup, and this is important to really understand, the network behind this coup started planning this coup back in 2011. And I want to mention this to you because you look at search engines, you look and you try to find information. Eric Schmidt of Google back in 2011 and Jared Cohen, also now of Google, but still, but continuing through unofficially as U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's chief person tasked to plan popular movements to overthrow Yanukovych in Ukraine and Sajjan Assad in Syria. These people were part of this network that were involved in this coup, not revolution. And this is 2011. So let me state that differently. There was a network involved in what we now, or with destabilization of Ukraine back in 2011, network involved Eric Schmidt of Google and Jared Cohen, then of Google. But Jared Cohen was also tightly knit with Hillary Clinton. And then when you go to March 1st, 2013, the implementation of this coup began. And this is so important for people to understand. There was a camp established, a training camp, to train far-right Ukrainians. When I say far-right Ukrainians, I'm talking about the Nazi battalion. As Laura Loomer spoke about recently on One American News, I believe it was. Understand that there are Nazi elements in Ukraine. So, and I have that clip, but I can't play that today. But Understand this. The one of the first tech camps or training camps to train these, I'm going to call them Nazis, because, and not even neo-Nazis, but these Nazi groups were held inside the U.S. Embassy in Kiev. Think about that. 9 months before the Maidan demonstrations to overthrow Ukraine's democratically elected president in 2013, November. And you can go through and see and read a lot of things, but when you start getting into the nuts and bolts of what happened back then, 2013, 2014, and again, look, I don't want you to, I don't want to sound like I'm pushing a lot of useless information to you, but when you ask why we're facing a nuclear war today, look at the screen. Look at the screen. That's the face. Those are the architects of the coup that set in motion all the events to where we're at today. Now, not limited to Barack Hussein Obama and Victoria Nuland, but many others. But there are books written about snipers, okay? For example, and I'll be very quick with this. There's a guy by the name of Gordon Hahn. He's an American scholar specialized in the studying the evidence regarding different aspects of the revolution in Ukraine that began the Maidan Revolution. And his focus was on Ukrainian snipers, but he ignored the foreign ones who had been hired by the U.S. regime indirectly through Lithuania, through Georgia, and other anti-Russian CIA asset countries and assets, period. Snipers were positioned during the Maidan revolution or coup to take out the government's police who were protecting government's buildings. Again, look on your screen. Who gave the wink and the nod for that? You're looking at the two globalists, the two most visible, not the only, but the most visible. There were massacres upon massacres that were blamed. I'm not going to get into anything more than that, I suppose, because of time. But the fact of them, and you can dig so far deep into this, folks. I mean, I could tell you this. Larry Summers, for example, at a meeting in Kiev back in 2015, talked about how to refashion Ukraine. And I mentioned about military interests, David Petraeus. I mentioned, of course, Nuland, you saw. There are many, many more. You've got to go back and you've got to look at what happened. Not through the lens of Google, not through the lens of the censors or Wikipedia, but you've got to go back if you want to know why that the United States, the West, especially Europe, but even the innocent people of Ukraine, why we are staring down the barrel of nuclear weapons by Russia. It's not because Russia's losing badly and no. It's not because Russia invaded Ukraine without cause, and I'm not protecting, believe me, I am not protecting Putin at all. I'm just saying this, there's a lot more to this story. There's a lot of false flags built in here. When I say false flags, things that really happened, but were orchestrated to make it for misattribution, to make it look like others caused this. And in the front and center of all of this, you have the money-making operations of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, as I mentioned previous. When Putin chose to do what he did and Ukraine chose to tie themselves to America, this very dangerous, reckless American globalist organization. They made their choice. The U.S. global, the globalists within the U.S., they had just about everything to do with Putin's choice, or causing him to choose what he did, both Republicans and Democrats. And but there was America, the globalists in America, especially now, extending Obama and Newland's, whatever you want to call it, their agenda, doing the work and bidding of the globalists. It's Biden, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Jim Biden, and others associated with the Biden criminal regime. Look, the bottom line, Putin wants to prevent NATO from expanding to Russia's border. We get that. But the bigger issue is that he finds that the United States involvement, the United States relationship, the globalists, that is, not the people, not necessarily the government alone, but the globalists within the government, their relationship with Ukraine is absolutely threatening to Russian security and safety. And that's why we are facing now. It is the nuclear weapons. It is because of the policies. And you can go back to Bush, and you can go back to even, you can even go back if you really want to Clinton and even prior to that. But the bottom, you can even go back to World War II. Post-World War II, immediately following World War II. But if you want to know, when you see the mushroom cloud in the distance, who brought you to this point? I just showed you. In addition, again, those are the faces, but the elite, if you will, the globalists operating, laundering the money in Ukraine, using Ukraine as their playground, as their money laundering operation. They are the ones responsible for the upcoming death, destruction, and a world of hurt of our children and future generations. This is a game that Biden and key figures in the people in his stolen election. And stolen election, as Bannon said, they've got consequences, and you're looking at them now. But the key figures in the Biden regime have been playing this for a long time. And you got to go back again to Obama, Newland, 2013, 2014, for that coup, that so-called Maidan Revolution. And the fact that, that was kind of a sequel of sorts to the George Bush-backed Orange Revolution of 2004. So this is not something that was just happened with Russia's invasion. No. This was something much bigger, and it's going to only get worse. All right, with me, man, it seems like forever. With me right now, and I so appreciate his patience, I so appreciate him, is Richard Proctor of the Provost Institute. Before I get to Richard, hold on, hold that screen for a second. I just want to give a shout out to I find friends at NuPro, N-U-P-R-O. They've got joint and immunity support for dogs, for cats, for ferrets, for gerbils, whatever. For your four-legged furry friends. Seriously, they've got the best nutritional supplements for pets. That is NuPro, N-U-P-R-O. They've got natural dog supplement. This is the original formula. They've got the joint and immunity support. They've got a whole slew of products. Can you see me? All right. Seriously, NuPro. If you love your dog, if you love your cat, if you love your four-legged friend, Nupro, N-U-P-R-O, Nupro.com. You will see a difference in their coats, in the way they they act, in terms of younger. Their joints loosen up, and I can't speak highly enough of the product itself as well as the company, Nupro, N-U-P-R-O, and thank them for, and I thank them for being part of the Hagman Report family. All right, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Put that screen back up there, because he wrote a book, Saving the Constitution. He's got another one coming out. And folks, go to ProvisInstitute.com. Please do that. ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box. And get yourself a copy of Saving the Constitution, because it's still relevant. At Bathroom Economics, boy, I got a whole slew of economic questions for him, many that can be answered with that book. And the Liberty Series, Will It Survive? That's a great foundational package for how we got to where we're at in the larger sense. Richard Proctor, thank you so much for your patience. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for accommodating my schedule. And I hope you're feeling better. How are you feeling?
Well, looking better, feeling better. Still sideways. I'm still sideways.
You know, I had a bet with my wife. She said, you know, he's going to be upright, you know, straight up and down. And I said, you know, I got a feeling he's going to be sideways. So I won.
The schedule to probably be straight up and down with a hard collar is probably after the 18th of this month, sometime in that neighborhood.
18.
It'll be 7.5 months since the actual accident occurred.
See, Richard, is there something wrong with our healthcare system that you had to wait that long, or was it the VA?
No, it's not the VA, because I'm not doing this through the VA. I'm doing it through the commercial. It's the administrative people and the, shall we say, lack of services available.
Okay.
The physician told me that it should be done in 2 weeks. That was back in May.
So they're 2 weeks. That's kind of like 2 weeks to flatten the curve. So 2 weeks to straighten up Richard Proctor turns into 2 years of sideways. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
All right.
And you know, I had to wait. They wanted me to see a cardiologist. He wanted me to have a stress test. That took 3 weeks. Then after that was done, we finally got a week to get it to the guys, and then they decided to wait until for 6 weeks, until the middle of October. And now we don't have a for sure date. It's sometime after the 18th, but I don't know how many days.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. We will be praying for you. And folks, pray for Richard Proctor, please. He's been through heck and back, hell and back, actually. Yeah.
I just want to say what it is.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? You are in our prayers. Look, I know I cut into your time. My schedule's been screwed up, as you know. We're both involved, heavily involved in at the mercy of a medical system. I'm not going to get,
you are too. Yes.
So it's crazy. I mean, everything is broken.
And the medical system has been doing nothing but going downhill ever since the date Medicare started back in the 70s. I watched it happen. I was in the hospital administration system in the 70s when Medicare came in, and I watched these things occur and go downhill. And we've never been where we were. We'll never get back to where we were again unless government gets out of it. And if government gets out of it, that will be a big, shall we say, a dilemma for all of us, because we're now used to government being in it. But what we're even used to is poor business. I mean, This kind of a thing should have been taken care of. Well, let's see. We had the first CAT scan. They thought everything was all right. Then we had the MRI. Then they knew they were not. And I should have had surgery within 2-3 weeks of that date. And that would have been before the 1st of June.
Man.
Now, here we are.
Here we are.
Seven months since the accident. Still, surgery date is up in the air. Probably will be 3 weeks, maybe four from today.
Well,
I used to think that the system in England was bad because they had to wait. Oh, well, guess what, folks? We're in the same boat. Also, age is going to take some determination of when they're going to do it. If I were 21, they'd probably be taking care of me. But I'm not. I'm an old dude. So now they're going to say, well, let's give the young people a chance to have a better living time than the old guys. They're going to die anyway. Oh, that's the attitude, folks. We have death panels. We have everything now. Yeah.
Yeah. And we used to laugh at, or not we, but people used to laugh at the conspiracy theory about death panels. But you know, yeah, I guess what would you call that? Return on their investment. You're not such a great return based on your age.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Return on the investment's a good way to say it. Fix up those old guys and we're just around for a year. Fix up a new guy and they're still going to be around. You know, a 20-year-old still be around for 50. What's the bet? What do you really want? You want the 50, not the one. But that's not how medical care in the United States was.
That's right.
Before government got involved, before the insurance thing came up with Obamacare and all that garbage. And they had to cheat to get that through, if you'll remember.
Yes.
Then they had to cheat with the Supreme Court to even get it legal, if you'll remember. And it isn't legal at all because the Constitution, in nowhere does it give the government the authority to do anything in medical care. Nothing at all. And the 10th Amendment very clearly says the states can do everything the Constitution allows. The federal government can do nothing unless it is allowed by the Constitution. Now, that's all the 10th Amendment says. Federal government can do nothing, not allowed. States can do everything, not prohibited.
Wow.
And that's where it is.
And that's where it is. And you know,
if you guys think it's going to get any better, I've got a big bridge in England I'm going to sell.
It ain't going to get better unless it's no. There's nothing with the ACA, Affordable Care Act, that is good. I mean, there's nothing good about the ACA.
No. And it was 1,000 pages and then bothered to read it. We got to pass this to see what's in it.
Right.
And what's going to happen to us next? What's in the line for us next that they're sneaking in on us? Digital currency? Government get involved in digital currency? Do you know what that means, folks? That means that you lose your life. I don't mean physically be killed. I mean, your liberties are gone. Digital currency will decide whether you can eat or not, depending on your attitude. Digital currency will decide what jobs you can have, where you can live. All those things will be decided by digital currency. Yeah, folks. You think that digital currency, oh boy, it's a good thing Bitcoin was good. This would be better. There's also no limit to how much money they can put in the system either. So inflation is on its way. Oh, folks, we are in terrible, terrible shape. And we don't pay any attention. We are not paying any attention. How many people are listening to this show today? 100,000? How many people in the United States should be? 300 million.
There you go. That would set my demographics better, or my metrics better.
Yeah.
What do you think? 300 million listening? Well, I'd settle for 100 million, or half a million. And I'd settle for, but the fact is, because people have to be exposed to what you know. And see, that's the thing. I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Eric about this too. But I was thinking about this, folks. You'll never meet a more well-informed guy than Richard Proctor when it comes to the Constitution, and when it comes to the economics.
And the banking.
That's
folks
it.
Folks have no idea what's going on the banking system, and they don't believe me. They don't believe me, even though I can show it to them in black and white. They say, well, that's not true. The banks would never do that to us. Oh, you bet they are. You bet they are. And now,
well, let me give you this. Okay, guess what? There was a guy, and this is absolutely, I confirm this. I heard about this, but big bank, okay, went to make a cash deposit among checks, had a business. They put a 2-day hold on the cash deposit as well as the checks. The checks are longer, but they put a hold on the cash deposit.
Why is that going? Oh, that's because they don't want you to take the money out. They're using it.
What he said. Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
That's all it's about. They just make more money. 2 days will make them millions of dollars.
That's right.
Because it's 2 days with everybody. But it's even worse than that, Doug. It's even worse than that. In 2020, okay, I don't remember the exact date. That's not crucial. In 2020, they deleted the reserve requirement. So now let's see what that means. In days of yore, I'm going to actually use some numbers here, you guys, that if you really want to know them, you got to get my banking book when it comes up. But in days of yore, if you had an investment, a deposit or capital investment, you had to keep 10% of it on file and you could loan out the other 90%. If you follow that rule and you start out with $2 million in capital, in 12 months, you can make your profit will be somewhere around 14 million, 12 months. That's just a small bank making loans. I've got the figures. It's in my book. It's in the book. Our Appendix 5 has these numbers. If we be concerned that they took away the opportunity to the requirement to have any cash in reserve. In other words, now when you don't have to keep $1,000 out of 10,000. You have to keep nothing out of 10,000. Nothing. So since now you don't have to keep anything, it's unlimited. So let's just assume, and you'll see this chart in the book, in Appendix 5, you'll see this chart. Let's just assume you start with $2 million capital and you loan that out, and then you have the income stream, and then you loan that out again the first of the next month, and you loan it out the first of the next month, which is authorized. By the end of the year, the 12th month, instead of 14 million, you'll have 400 million in profit. And the requirement isn't once a month. The requirement is once. And then again, you could do it every day. And if you did it every day, the income would be north of 400 million times 30. It'd be north of that. And that's what the banks are doing today. If you think inflation's bad because of the Federal Reserve and the government, you should look at what the inflation is at the Federal Reserve and the banks. Oh, by the way, did I just say Federal Reserve twice? There's the problem right there. Oh, and I've got pictures of the Federal Reserve now and the second central bank, i.e. the second National Bank of the United States, in the book too, so you can see what they actually look like. The buildings, that is. Oh, yes, guys. This banking, I cover inflation, I cover debt, I cover every aspect of what banks are doing to us and how they're doing it. And it's about, I'd say about 80% written. Then we got to have the editing, then we got to have the index, and then we got to have the publishing. But anyway, that's where we are.
I can't wait for that. But so our, speaking of debt, we're at $31 trillion right now. I can't.
No. Sorry, we're not at $31 trillion. Okay. We're at 60 trillion, just under 60 trillion.
How'd you get that number?
Because you just talked about the federal debt. Yes. We're over 30. But what about the personal debt, which is over 23? So already that's about 54 trillion. Personal debt
does that
just
count
as the national debt?
Why?
Because we put our name on the document that we were going to pay it. You see, we have agreed to pay that $23 trillion. We personally wrote our name on the document and said, we will pay that $23 trillion. Every one of us have done that. And that's where the $23 trillion is. And then the student loans going berserk, too. They're over $2 trillion now. The student loans. Guys, we are in debt. We believe that debt's how we run our country. Debt is not how we run our country. Debt is how it's destroyed. Production is how we run our country. But everybody wants to think that debt is because we've been taught over and over and over again. Let me ask you this question, okay? Let me ask this question. Have you ever heard the statement, the higher the risk, the greater the risk, the greater the return, the greater the resist.
The higher the risk, the greater the reward.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
I heard that about 2 hours ago.
All right. Now we've established that people have heard that. Now, therefore, banks should never invest in anything that has a high rate of return, right? Because if they do, they're going to lose their money just like you and I might.
Right.
So they're not going to put it in the stock market. They might put it in money markets. They're not going to put it in the stock market. They're going to loan it out to people. Okay. And they're going to check those people over and over and over again before they'll even give them the money. All right. Now, After you deposit $10,000 into an account, new money in an account at whatever bank you want to put it in. I don't care. And after they've gone through two steps of just the 90% rule, you know how you could loan out 90%? Not the zero. When you had to keep 10, just that rule right there. Are you going to believe this? First two steps, the banks earn over 3,240% on your deposit of $10,000. Is that more than 50%?
My math isn't that great, but yeah.
Yeah. And the bank, and you know, another piece of this whole pie is that these people are they use your money over and over and over again. And then if you don't make a payment towards the end, they'll confiscate your car or your house or your whatever.
Sure.
And folks, they never put a dime of the bank's money in there. Not one dime.
And by the way, full disclosure, I've had that happen to me. I've lost a card or repo once when I was young.
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh. It's a stupid mistake. I couldn't afford it and they took it. And, you know, and I was stuck with the balance that, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's right. You're stuck every way it goes.
Yeah.
Every way it goes, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Folks, we have a problem in this country. We believe debt. We believe banks. We believe the Federal Reserve. And we're being taken to the cleaners. Billions of dollars a day.
That brings me to my question, all right? I was going to start off by saying, Richard, what's been on your mind the last couple of weeks since we haven't talked? But I can see the economy is kind of on your mind, right?
Well, yes. Well, banking. Remember, I'm writing a book about banking, so that's heavy on my mind. What's on my mind is the Great Reset, too. That's just a lie also.
But okay, so I pretend like I'm not – well, I was going to say pretend like I'm not here, but you can't do that because I'm going to be jumping in here anyway. you tell me what's most – you tell me what you want the listeners, the viewers to hear, what you think is the most important right now. And again, folks, make sure you're one of the first to grab his new book because I want to be, because the guy knows his stuff. But anyway, again, link at howyoureport.com.
The thing that I think is the most important thing right now in our society, right this minute.
Yes.
Is to set up a personal, a public citizens banking system like I've outlined in this book. Not one that's outlined by the big company that's running out of California setting up public citizens banks. They're not really doing that. They're just setting up a bunch of banks of the same name because they're still all under the Federal Reserve. You must not be a part of the Federal Reserve. That's the most important thing you can do today is set up a bank in your state. And it's okay. The states can do it. It's the 10th Amendment, Article 6, Paragraph 3 says of the Constitution. Both of those references say you, the state, can do the banks. You do not have to have a federal bank, which, by the way, the central bank is the federal bank. Everybody in this country should be trying to get a system, a personal system, a public citizens banking. Let's just think about what that means. That means that today, what's the interest rates? We're going up to 5, 6, 7% on your home? Well, they could go to 10 or 15 on your home.
You know what? They just upped it to, I don't have it with me. I think it's what, 5.72?
Oh, I'm sure, but 6.72. 5.72, 5.75, that's nothing compared to what they can take it to, 6, 7, 8, 10%. If you had a personal, a public citizens bank in your state, you could get those loans for 2%.
But see, wouldn't you get, okay, so wouldn't the Fed say objection?
They can object all they want. As long as your state authorizes it, they can object all they want. What you want to do is you don't want to make big noises about it. You just need to do it. See, the Fed won't like this. They won't like this. They're going to do everything they can to destroy it. But you see, there's no FDIC. What do you mean no FDIC? Got to have that for insurance. That's all garbage, too. We've been sold a bill of goods. The FDIC is nothing. It won't save you a bit.
Wait a second. I am assured, Richard, that my checking and savings account are insured up to $250,000 per account. Okay, I know that. Hey, my $250,000.
They're not insured at all.
Come on, man.
I don't care how much you've been insured. They are not insured.
Come on, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Come on, you're telling me they're not insured?
I'm telling you that the FDIC cannot ever do what they say they're going to do. If there's a banking run, the FDIC has no money to put in there. They cannot do it. They have to go to the Federal Reserve to print more money. If it goes to the end, we're going to double the money and hyperinflation is right on top of you. You have no insurance about your money. That's the placebo they threw in the 1930s to try to get everybody to leave their money in the bank. It's a lie. Okay. What does the FDIC really do? It goes around and inspects the banks and makes sure they're doing what the Federal Reserve says they're supposed to do. And if they don't, they have the authority right then to shut that bank down just because they're not doing what the Federal Reserve told them to do. In other words, the bank will now give you 0.25% interest. Now, that's really small, guys. My wife's got an account that's 0.01. Okay, that's all that she's getting, 0.01.
I think we bank at the same place. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. If a bank went and said, we're going to give you 2%, the FDIC would come in and close you down because you're not following the rules. And that's what's going on. That's why you know what the interest rate on credit cards is now?
Oh.
36%.
Yes. Yes.
36. How's that done? Because the Federal Reserve has allowed it to occur. If somebody comes back in and says, we're only going to do 5 or 6 or 7, they won't mind that too much. But if you go below prime, you know, like you got in 2 and 3, they'll shut you down. Because they do not want people to get away with their wealth. They do not. They want to control all your wealth. That's what digital currency is about. By the way, if you had a public citizens bank, you wouldn't have to worry about digital currency either.
Okay. We can certainly attempt to start, create a citizens bank like that. Or what did you call it? A
public citizens public banking citizen. System.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's in my book. By the way, it's in the bathroom economics book. It's in this, and it's in the banking book that's coming out.
Yep, that much I know.
Public Citizens Bank is vastly important, but nobody cares.
But again, what would it take to briefly? What would it take to start one? It would take a bunch of money from a bunch of people.
Well, $2 million. I put $2 million as a capital to begin.
Okay, all right.
In the bill.
All right.
Okay.
So,
what would it take after you've got that? The legislature of your state to say you can start it. Go ahead and do it.
Now, in your wildest dreams, Richard, can you see that happening?
I can.
Okay. Why?
Because if you could find somebody with some pizzazz, charisma, that wants to do it, and they get out and start doing advertisements about it, and people begin to see what the opportunity is, then their legislature will pass it. But until the people tell them to do it, they will not, because they're fighting against that banking system you just spoke of. But their goal is to get reelected. And if they're not going to get reelected because they won't let you have a public citizens bank, then they'll be scared to death of their job. Folks, you've got to do it. You have got to have a public citizens bank. But nobody even tries. I'll give you an illustration. This beginning of this election year, back in January, some people called me in to their home and said, look, we want to do a public citizens bank. We know about it. We've heard about it. We want to do it. How are you going to, would you help us do it? I says, absolutely sure. I'll help you do it. We've got some senator. We got a senator here that's ready to do it. We got some people who are ready. Let's get going. I said, okay, good. Have that person get in touch with me and I will be at his doorstep. Never heard a word from that group of people again.
Why?
They really weren't interested in it. They're interested in the publicity they could get.
Or could the current banking system have such a stranglehold on the so-called elected officials, leaders, they don't even want to go near this?
That's right.
Okay.
But if we, the people, don't break that stranglehold, then we're going to be, again, still in the Federal Reserve. If, when I started talking about this banking system 6 years ago, Utah would now be in a position where they needed no federal funds, they needed no state taxes, no state fees, no nothing, period. And we would not be concerned about these stupid 0.25% or credit cards at 36. We would not be concerned about a digital banking system. We would not care. If we just done that, we would be independent of this garbage that's going all over the country.
Here's what I'm looking at right now. Okay. I had a gentleman, spoke with a gentleman by the name of Aaron Brickman. He's he analyzes patterns with the economy in banking and such. And generally speaking, he studied the 29 crash, the 2008 crash, and so on. Okay. And he said basically his analysis is we are about to witness in October one of the biggest bank heists since forever. Okay. He said October is going to be horrible economically, or the economics. We're going to see bank failures, bank bail-ins, bailouts, burn down, basically. What are your thoughts?
It could be, Doug. Okay. We just finished September, didn't we?
Yes.
I received, I don't think one, but 1,000 emails telling me that September was going to be the bad month.
Okay.
Maybe it will be.
Okay.
But will the people sit still for having no food and no food to eat and no money and no way to get anything? Will they sit still for that?
And maybe that's what we need. We need that in order for people to take notice of what you're saying. Hey, you know what? This wouldn't have happened if we would have been under this public citizens bank.
Yes, that's right, Doug, but nobody knows that alternative. People don't know the Constitution. They don't know what the banking system is, and they don't know there's an alternative because they just won't believe it.
Outside of our audience, I don't think people know what planet they're on half the time.
That's right.
You know?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
By the way, folks, Richard Pryor, I want to reintroduce you because I think, folks, you've missed him. You love the guy. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. His books are invaluable. Get them. Get them while you still can. ProvisInstitute.com. Saving the Constitution. That is one of my favorite reference books, by the way. Every
and Patreon. We do that each month on the third Tuesday.
There you go.
At 8 o'clock Eastern time. Patreon. That's a big deal. We talk about these things in detail. People ask me questions. I answer them. We talk together about it. And we're not recorded. Therefore, we're not restricted in any way, shape, or form of what we say and do.
You know what, folks? I would consider it a personal favor if you become patron members of Richard Proctor and listen to what he's got to say, okay? Because, you know, honestly, off-air conversations are a hell of a lot more informative than on-air conversations because,
remember, don't forget I got 41 podcasts out talking about these same things.
Yep,
And over again. I have my books talk about them, my school, I have the school, the institute that I'm doing. I teach these same things. Patreon, I teach these same things. I've been doing these things since I published my first book back in 2015.
And aside from his temporary neck issue, he doesn't do the Biden shuffle like Biden does. And he doesn't, I mean, he's sharp as a tack. So
I forget words, but I get all carried away and get excited. So I have to ask people words every now and again.
That's all right. So do I. And Eric and I were talking and I couldn't think of a word earlier today. And he's like, what's wrong with you? Did you just, you know. He asked me basically if I had a stroke. I said, no, I just, because you get excited
And I can't remember the words.
Yeah.
The investment capital. I forget that word all the time.
Investment capital. Yeah.
I forget things. Investment capital. That's what the banks do with all your money you pay in loans. Now, you didn't know that. People don't know that. You make a payment and they send you a statement that says principal and interest. That's all smoke and mirrors, Garber. There is no principal and interest payment. It's just on an accounting system they send to you so you will stay in their bailiwick. What's really happening to every dime you give the bank to pay the loan, they put it in a personal account the bank owns and they loan it out. Not one dime goes to any principal or interest category. They just put it on your statement to keep you dumb so you won't know what they're doing. It's called investment capital. Again, I'll talk about this in the banking book. And I've also talked about in the background of the economics book. These things aren't hidden, you guys. I talk about in volume 6 of that book, too. They're not hidden. I've got these things out so people, each time I talk about it, I talk about it a little differently. But the basic item is still all the same. We must have public citizens banks or we'll never, ever get out of the garbage we're in. Remember, in the 1800s, we had no Federal Reserve Bank, ever.
You know, I often think about that 1913 meeting on Jekyll Island when the elite were told to dress like duck hunters and meet at a train station in the dark of night. And
went on down to Georgia, then went over to Jekyll Island, and it was, and all the people who usually were at Jekyll Island were all laid off. They all went home. Nobody was there. They brought in their own people to do everything. Didn't use their own names. They used separate names.
Yep.
So you wouldn't know about them. It was as secret as you can get. But there are no conspiracies. No conspiracies, you guys. That's all garbage. There are no conspiracies.
I want to reintroduce you again, folks. Richard Proctor, seriously, a man who knows economics, banking, and certainly, first and foremost, the Constitution. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. I know we have new viewers, new listeners. The interruptions only serve, the way I look at it, serve to strengthen our bonds with people that we care about, like Richard and other guests as well. And it makes you appreciate them more. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. All right, sir, go ahead.
All of my books are available every way you want, any way you want to get them. In addition, starting in November, my books, my Saving the Constitution book will be on digital ebooks. Yeah, it'll be on the ebook system.
Well, you know,
there are no excuses anymore, you guys.
Nope.
And the bottom line is, you've got to know that. Here's your key, guys. You can never fix anything you don't know is broken.
That's
you
right.
Don't know the banking system's broken, therefore you cannot fix it. You do not know what's wrong, therefore you do not know what a public citizens bank can do for you. You know all the profit the public citizens bank makes, even that $400 million goes to the state to take care of the state operations, and that will cut back your taxes.
But that cuts into that'll cut into the incomes of the people who are selected to lead us through the voting mechanism, by the way. So we can't have that. So, but see, don't lose hope, because I do believe, after this is what I believe, Richard. No, I'm going to leave it here and it's going to go back to you. But I believe by the end of this month, the United States and the Western economic world will be so shaken by what happens over the next 3-4 weeks that people will be ready and more interested in learning how to rebuild with banks like you're talking about. I believe that to be the case wholeheartedly, because what I'm seeing right now matches, again, my conversation with Aaron matches the 20 crash of 29. I think that we are ready to see a crash of our economy like we saw in 1929. That's what
okay,
I believe.
Now, but I want to say something, Doug.
Go
the crash of 29 did not cause the depression of the 30s.
That's
it
true.
It did not cause it.
Explain that, because people don't get it. Please explain that.
Everybody is taught that the crash of 29 put us under, and therefore that's what caused that. No, that was caused by the Federal Reserve during the 20s when they were doing manipulations with gold. And in the year 29, starting in February, guys like Bernard Baruch and people like today Gates and Soros all took their money out of the market quietly. Okay, they used agents, so nobody knew they did, so that when it crashed, they didn't lose any money. Nope. They came right in the next day and started buying things, pennies on the dollar.
Yep.
They put all the money in a safety deposit box. Something similar to that will go on again. If we have that crash you're talking about, it's going to be caused by Soros, Gates and company, the Rothschild group, the Illuminati, if you will.
Yes.
The World Economic Forum. They will cause it. And because they know it's coming, they have hedged their bets, and you will lose, but they will not.
All of a sudden, you're going to have BlackRock, Vanguard, and other places owning homes like they're the landlord, pimp landlord down the road. You know, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. And you're absolutely right. And they're going to get those homes for pennies on a dollar from the people that can't afford to maintain them because of the crash of the economy.
Yep, that's right. And there's another piece in there that's hidden in the background. All the values of the homes are going up. So everybody's saying, oh boy, look what my home's worth. Ah, but look what the property tax is you now have to pay. Can you afford to pay the property tax for the home you have? That's the next question.
No.
By the way, folks, if you had a public citizens bank, none of this stuff would be necessary because there would be no property tax. Folks, it fixes everything if you would just understand that. There is nothing that the public citizens bank won't fix that's going on right now that everybody's jumping through hoops worried about. It would fix it all. You can't do it in a day. You can't do it in a month. But you got to get started. Some point you got to get started. Remember, I have all kinds of information about what happened in Canada about the Great Reset. That information occurred in November of 21. All kinds of information. November and October, I got, they were going to do some stuff. They're going to build camps. They're going to do this. And everybody would have to do the reset, take the vaccine, or else. Folks, all that was said, but none of it really happened. Not like they said. Australia did some of it, but.
And New Zealand did to a smaller part. Yes.
See, so what I'm saying is all this stuff that they talked about, all this bad stuff that you quake in your boots about. Oh, I can't do it now. Look what's already happened. Do it now anyway.
For those who wish to start a bank, like Richard said, dial 1-800-BANK-ME-HARDER-DADDY. Okay. be quiet, Eric.
Yeah, my book on bathroom economics has the information in it.
Yes, it does.
The banking book will have more exhaustive information on the same stuff. But that's not out yet. So use the one that's out. Okay. In addition... Anybody would ask me, I will send them the public citizen banking proposal, including a proposed bill that could be modified for any state legislature.
That would be a good thing. In all seriousness, folks, even if you don't think you can do it, get the information. The contact information for Richard Proctor will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, as well as you can find it on ProvisInstitute.com. Again, the link will be in our program description box, not on Rumble, on Brighteon, but at HagmanReport.com. And I'm going to thank you for that, because people need, even if you're not in a position to do that, you can pass along to somebody who is, maybe.
Absolutely. If you don't have the information, you won't know it's broken.
And that's a solution. And I love it, because we talk about solutions. We're talking about some bad stuff coming. How do we fix it?
Here's the solution.
There it is.
You know, the solution to all of this is read that Constitution. You know, that thing that you put up earlier. Read that book. Learn it. Learn that Constitution. You do not know what's broken. I can still ask this question universally. When was the last time we elected a president in accordance with the Constitution? And nobody can answer. Well, so you can. Those have been paying attention. But that number that's paying attention is so small that I can still say nobody knows.
But tell the people, because to me that
the last time?
Yes.
1796, the third election. Never have we used it since then properly. Never. We have never used Electoral College since 1921. Never have we used the Electoral College. You know who the Electoral College is today and has been since 21? The CFR in the frat house in New York City.
So that's say that. Wait. Okay.
You guys think you're voting for the president? No, you're not. You're voting for people that the frat house decided you can vote for.
Well, right. You're not voting for the president or vice president. You're voting for electors who will then cast their vote for.
No. We're not doing that even.
Okay.
We're not even doing that. Right now, today, the Electoral College does nothing except meet and say hi.
Okay,
by a popular vote, and the media makes sure we all know the popular vote.
And what the heck was January 6th all about that I keep hearing and I keep getting notices about?
Because
some
people were trying to get Trump elected and trying to show their support and trying to get at least try to get something that's reasonable in, and they got arrested for doing that.
Yeah.
And they're all political prisoners, you guys.
Yep.
No better off than we did in Germany during the Nazi era. No worse than that, no better than that, as we did in the communist era. No worse than that, no better than that. Yet we are not paying any attention to them. We have guys that have been in jail for 2 years with no trial, no nothing.
No
just
due process.
In jail for two yep. years.
870 arrests from all 50 states, for those keeping track at home. Listen
okay,
to me.
There's 870 people that are yep. political prisoners in jail because they didn't toe the line. So they were picked up. People were picked up and put in that prison just because they had a credit card at a hotel in Washington, D.C. on that day.
Oh, and people will say that's BS. No. Just to be clear, 870 people, 870 arrests, okay, over the course. They're not all still in jail, but there are many that are. And yes, you're correct. Some for just being near the Capitol, having nothing to do with what happened, and yet no one's standing up for them. So,
a good friend of mine is acquainted with a guy who had to fight that. They were going to put him in prison just because he had been there, period.
Well, look, in the interest of full disclosure, all right, I've been told, I can't say what I've been told, but I've got to preserve certain documents because the January 6th committee is not done. There will be more arrests.
Well, it's time, but why are we still waiting? What's going on? What are we going to do? Compile stuff until the decade ends? I mean, the 20s. Are we just going to keep compiling until 2030? Okay, is that all we're doing? Is it just name only? Take Joseph McCarthy. People are still criticizing him for what he did, yet the Verona papers, when they came out of Russia, vindicated him 100%. But we still believe that he cheated everybody, cheated this and cheated that. And communists under every bed and every mattress. And the reason we are is because the damn media taught us that, and they won't let go of it.
Man,
that was a
right.
gentleman who did a good, valid, honest job. And he was, well, he actually died because of it. I'm not going to say he was murdered, but he could have been. But he did die because of all the pressures and all the problems that were put on him because of what he did. And then the Verona papers came. Oh, by the way, if you don't know what the Verona papers are, they are documents in the archives of Russia that were kept on the history of what's been going on in Russia and who did what and why. And the Verona papers came out and showed the communist organizations that existed in the United States at the time Joseph McCarthy was talking about them.
McCarthy was 100% right.
Yes, he was 100% right. But they still won't do that. They still won't. They still want to kick him out because, you see, if he's 100% right, then maybe there's some more things we're getting that are completely wrong, which, by the way, there are.
Absolutely. And, folks, do not use McCarthyism as a pejorative because I will kick your butt because
absolutely
McCarthy was correct.
He gave his life for us indirectly for that project. He yep. gave his life. And yep. his family have lived with that attitude ever since. But the man did a good job. He did an honest job, and he just put honest things out, and the media couldn't tolerate it. So they used movies, they used their media, they used their voices. All the alphabet media just tore him to pieces. And who was responsible for that? Well, I'm not sure if Walter Lippmann was still there at that time, but he could have been. Walter Lippmann was the guy who wrote, who made sure all the newspapers did this, said the right thing from 1920 on and until he got out of the business, retired or whatever. He's the one who sat down and made sure that everybody got the same news. And you can listen to every news channel or read every newspaper today and hear almost the precise same words over and over and over and over by different people. That's because they're being fed to them by a media that's all, well, it's the fourth government. It's the fourth part of the conspiracy. Folks, we don't have any friends in Washington, D.C. And those journalists I'm talking about, they're in Washington, D.C., making sure everything is said right.
The media, I believe the media will be the cause for the upcoming civil arrest, or at least unrest, or at least the civil war, as I like to call it. And I believe that's going to happen. Let me ask you a question here.
Yes.
Do you think the Great Reset is going to go off? You talk about digital currency. Do you see that coming?
I don't know if I see them coming. They talk about it a lot. Everybody keeps saying it's going to happen this month. It's going to happen on the 24th of September. I had that date repeated to me over and over and over and over again, yet nothing happened.
That had something. September 24th, that got so convoluted, and I think that was deliberate. But, yeah, forget about that date, 24th.
Well, 25. I can forget about all the October dates, too.
Well, that's true.
We'll do that in November. We'll do that in November. We'll forget about all of those.
Well, I mean, I get that. So okay.
I can't be positive about that statement, but that's the pattern. The pattern is they try to scare us to death, and they wait to see if we'll accept it. Let me see. What happened in 2020? January of 2020. There's a terrible disease coming. You better stay home and not work. You better do this. You better do that. You better do the other. And everybody did. So then the guy said, okay, well, they'll do that. Let's do something different. No, they'll do that. Let's do something more. Okay, well, they'll take the shot, so let's give them something more. Well, let's have a new disease come up. Every time we accept these things, something new happens to us. If we wouldn't accept it, the next step wouldn't occur. We are not smart enough because we don't know what's broken and what isn't. And we allow illegal arrests and fines, imprisonments, because governors and not the legislature, because they could do this, governors, health departments, destroying lives, destroying companies, all because we allowed it. Not one company needed to close. We're having terrible problems with the oil. Not one oil company needed to close. Not one. We're going to have trouble with meat because meat packers have closed. Not one needed to close. Why did they close? Because they were paid in the background, so they still made their same profit. Who paid them? The people who are causing the problem, the Soros Group, Gates Group, the Illuminati, they paid them. That's where all the money is going, that we pay tax, that we pay in debt. Remember I talked about all the money that the banks are earning? Billions of dollars a day. The circle goes, it comes right around and goes back and buys our politicians. That's the circle. The money, we borrow money, we pay the debt. All the money that we pay in goes through the banking system all the way over to the banks in Europe. The banks in Europe are owned by the Illuminati and those groups. And the owners, they get the money, then they bring it back out because they have so much money. They come back out and just buy all the politicians, and all the politicians do what they want. Now they're also buying business owners, everything, so they can get the meatpacking plant. Let's assume that the meatpacking plant makes, the owner of that makes $100 million a year. And he doesn't want to part with that, so they'll pay him that, so he won't have to. So he can close his business and not have to worry about it.
Isn't that
that's going on?
That's amazing when you really think about it.
That's why it's happening. All these companies didn't need to close; they just all did.
I mean,
are you hearing now that oil companies are shutting down?
I've heard. Yes,
I don't know if they are or not. But if they are, why? The price of oil, passive gas is going through the roof. Why are they shutting down? They're shutting down because they're being paid to do it, if they are. You see? The cycle of the money. Money. Follow the money trail. The money trail starts with you borrowing money. That's where it starts. You make your payments. That's the next step. Those payments go to most of it, 90% of those payments all go to the Federal Reserve in New York. That's the next step. Those all go to the owners of the Federal Reserve, which are major banks in our country. That's the next step. All of those people are owned by the major banks in Europe. So that's the next step. That's where that goes. Then the major banks in Europe are owned by the Illuminati. Then that's the next step, and that's where the money goes. So now the money's there. Now what do they do with it? They already have all the yachts and the castles and the houses they want. So now they use the money to further their position. And how do they further their position? They come back into the state governments and the federal government, and the local governments, and buy every politician they can. They have the money to do it, no problem. So they come back and buy all these politicians. So they pass the laws so everything continues in the circle. And that's the circle of the money. Follow the money trail. That's it.
And that is like the adage of investigators, follow the money. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, thank you so much for being so adaptable to my schedule and our schedule. And until next time, may God bless you. ProvostInstitute.com. Thank you, Richard. Folks, that'll do it. Good night. God bless.
Good to be here.
All right.
Take care.